Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Obscure. My name is Thea, and I'm a film director, music video maker, and editor from Georgia. Let's get started. In today's episode, I want to talk about anger as a driving force of modern protest culture and whether it's actually effective. I've been stuck in a dilemma of adaptation and confrontation for a long time, and it has been the topic of my films as well. Modern presumption in regards to these two terms often goes this way. Adaptation is conformism, and confrontation is rage and violence, which in my opinion is wrong. Adaptation is a survival skill. We adapt to circumstances and change our behavior based on the situation at hand to be more effective. It doesn't mean conforming to the rules. Adaptability could also mean you accept given rules and just find other ways of going around them. Whereas confrontation can also be non-aggressive. Confronting means setting boundaries and making the other party know when they have been crossed. Confrontation can also be adaptive and non-stubborn. Sometimes tactical retreat is the best choice, but it also is a form of confrontation. If you are destroyed, you cannot keep fighting. However, in modern reality, people get stubborn. They do not retreat out of principle. They do not want to show weakness, even if it means sacrificing a few people. Anger is a main driving force of every confrontation. So it does no longer serve as a signal, but also as a tool, which anger definitely is not, at least in my opinion. Some argue that the ability to get angry is a sign of honesty. Every relationship coach would tell you healthy arguments are part of every good relationship.
Put down those cigarettes.
We don't have enough money for the food.
Again.
What again? Each year you say you...
Two people get angry, they say things that they would be hiding otherwise, get it out, then calm down and make peace. But it takes two to tango. If two people aren't committed to make it work, one good fight can break the relationship. When two people are constantly fighting and not dealing with the problems, it's called toxic. I think the same goes with the politics. Anger has always been part of my life. Both of my grandmothers and my mother often would get angry. You could say they were constantly angry, but looking at them from the side or as the subject of their anger a lot of times, I grew up shy and quiet. I always had problems expressing anger, but that also didn't turn out to be effective, as suppressed feelings usually turn inward and transform into neuroses. As I watch social media, the relationship between some of the protesters and people reminds me of my own relationships with my family. One side expresses and forcefully maintains the anger, as they believe it's a symptom of empathy, and if they stop expressing it, protest will die. Meanwhile, the other side suppresses the anger, as they believe this anger is directed at them personally, and as a form of protest, they stay quiet, turning their anger inward, which results in paranoia and unhealthy beliefs, which frame protesters as some sort of violent punch.
You will be defeated!
I ask myself a question. Is anger really effective? Once again, I turn to my personal experiences. The first thing I remember is that story that one of my friends likes bringing up. We were shooting a music video together in a small city called Bolnisi. I chose a small car that was standing on rails of an active railway as one of the locations. We were going to sit a musician on top of it and drive him along the railroad. But first of all, the car didn't have the engine and it needed manpower to put it on rails. Crew was concerned. We asked around for schedules and found out that trains passed there very rarely. Still, crew members wanted a B plan in case this didn't work. The conversation took place in the evening while we were chatting and drinking together. I drank as well, and probably it tweaked my control mechanisms. I got angry. I furiously declared there is no plan B, and if they don't want to do it, I'm gonna go and quote-unquote rip my ass off and drag that car to myself and make it happen. Unexpectedly, my speech worked. Some just decided there is no point in arguing anymore with me. And my own father, who was a cinematographer on this one, suddenly praised me, saying that's how real directors and leaders should talk. Anyhow, we decided to make it, and to the whole crew's surprise, no trains passed. The cart was moved to the rails and they pushed it themselves to move it. After one strong push, cart went by inertia.
Okay. Yeah.
When you're ready.
Rolling.
Sound on it, rolling?
Yep.
Just sound.
Everything worked out. Even more than that, they liked it so much they wanted to shoot more. Everyone enjoyed the process, and all it took was me getting drunk and getting angry. This is a piece of music we recorded live on the bazaar of Balmisi. It says that Georgia is a motherland of eagles, where unfeathered love exists, and where one man would fight 1,000 to protect their country. But going back to the previous topic, imagine I would be an angry woman director through the whole shoot. Imagine I would shout and scream at the crew all the time. Do you think it would turn out as good and as effective as that? I don't think so. Anger is effective when it's emphasizing something. Constant anger only signifies unhealthy idealism and non-acceptance of every little mistake. I realized it even more clearly while babysitting my little sister. Ah. Most of the time, I try to explain to her when she does something wrong and only get angry when she crosses the line. So the child learns that my anger is always justified. And sometimes, even without me saying anything, she understands what she did wrong and says sorry. However, if I get angry for no reason and just burst out because I'm anxious, which also happens, I try to explain that as well and say sorry. We built a respectful relationship thanks to that. If we agree that all relationships are human relationships, then it's logical to assume that constant aggression and anger that we see on social media only alienates people and protesters from each other. But then we also need to take into consideration that the government wants exactly that. For that reason, they provide the reason for anger constantly. Basically, they provoke people. The biggest challenge for me as a concerned party is to explain to people in a tactful way to control their anger. To work the opposite way, making them even more angry. Yet still, I stubbornly try to push the idea that between confrontation and adaptation, I choose conversation. Not with the government and the elites, but between people, the citizens. Getting angry at uneducated and unaware people will not make them suddenly smart and knowledgeable. Getting angry at corrupt elites will only make them more money. So isn't it better to spare them this pleasure and use our anger economically? There are also things like group morality and tribalism, which is quite prevalent for our modern societies. It's quite deeply embedded in Georgian society as well, since we used to have gang fights over boys and girls relationships even. Anger is contagious. Anger, among other things, is a driving force of every cult. Head political groups and cults are very close in that sense. In cults, leaders use your deep-seated anger and slowly redirect it towards certain groups of people. Take, for example, skinheads or modern neo-Nazi movements. All those have one thing in common: constant anger. At some point, they make you angry by inertia. You just know you have to be angry all the time, and at some point you do it, even without any basis or reason. You get angry at the egg if it bursts while frying. These kind of movements have been around recently, but people easily project presumptions at anyone who is angry and happens to be part of the group. Lots of wrong presumptions our government made based exactly on that paranoia. That's why we ended up in a situation when innocent people ended up in jail. But because of the tense situation in the country, our politicians are afraid to admit the mistake, because it destroys their status quo and seemingly also means that they lose to the opposing party. Because of that, they go to all possible lengths to prolong the process and keep the innocent in jail, or at least fabricate their cases to remain in a powerful position. All that being said, I think right now it's more important than ever to be economic with our anger. And let's not forget that there are also moments of unity that sound like this. And this is my little sister trying to stay quiet while I'm recording this podcast. Let me know what your thoughts are. Thank you for your attention, and don't forget to follow, subscribe, and support.